Teachers do not always use the word pranayama for the exercises that we may try to do now. They use the word kumbhaka. It's good also to understand the word meaning of the three words used in connection with this pranayama exercise. And they are puraka. Puraka is loosely translated inhalation, but it literally means filling. It literally means filling. And the filling process commences 12 inches away from me. From there it flows in. And therefore, mental visualizations seems to be important here. It's not merely a physical or breathing work, but the mental visualization is also involved in this. Puraka is filling. The next is kumbhaka. Kumbha means pot. And kumbhaka means you regard or you treat your body as a pot, which you are filling, 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 till it is completely full. And then cover it, hold this whole thing like a pot. Hold the breath as the pot holds grains. Rechaka has got rather funny meaning. Rechaka is not exhalation, it's vomiting. Rechaka means vomiting. What? Rechaka? R-E-C-H-A-K-A. You can spell it as you like. R-E-C-A-K-A is also used. Rechaka is exhalation or vomiting. Yes, yes, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Holding the pot empty, that's what it means. Holding the pot empty. And all these are called kumbhakas. All the various, what we have used to call, we are used to call pranayama, are all called kumbhakas. And the scripture again and again mentions that the kumbhaka must be done as long as possible. The breath must be held as long as possible. This unfortunately has not been given great prominence because people are afraid of passing out. Swami Shivananda slightly modified it and said, as long as comfortable. But again, this as long is there. Of course, no doubt there is a thing called comfortable, but as long as comfortable. Not just as much as comfortable, or as, well, as is comfortable. So that if you say, as little as comfortable, I say, comfortable. But if I want all that comfort, I don't have to come to yoga class. Much easier to stay out. As long as comfortable. Because only then it is possible for me to know what prana is. It is, we have unfortunately, covered up this prana, this force, with comfort. It's our comfortable living that has really submerged this prana. And so if even in the yoga class I want comfort, that's defeating the purpose. I don't know if you want all these details. There are 8 kumbhakas mentioned. One is called Sahita. Sahita is with inhalation and exhalation. And there is another called Surya Bheda. Surya Bheda is very interesting. The text says, inhale through the right nostril, fill yourself up, and then hold the breath. For how long? Till perspiration pours from your whole body. Surya Bheda literally means Surya is the solar force, Bhedana is to pierce it. So that you break open the shell of the solar force inside you, you are blazing fire then. Surya Vedana. And somewhere else it is mentioned that Surya Veda Kumbhaka must be done till not perspiration but blood comes out of the pores of your skin.
Would you recommend that?
Well, if you want to. If you want some to see you see your own blood coming out of your pores of your body. Ujjayi is another kumbhaka. Sitali is another kumbhaka. Bhastrika, Brahmari. I think some of you have, some of these names are familiar. We'll come to that. We'll start practicing one by one. And then comes another one called Murcha. Literally it means fainting. Murcha means fainting. You inhale and hold the breath till you pass out. Then you know what as long means. And also, it is then that you know what exactly prana means. That is, if you can reach that stage without passing out, you know, you have seen prana. What makes you pass out? The action of prana. Both here and in meditation, you hold your breath and watch and see what is that power in me if I do not panic, if I am bold enough, if I am courageous enough, to say, all right, I am prepared to pass out. If I have this courage, what is it in me that says, come on, out, stop it. Why is it that I am not able to prolong this retention a few seconds more? So, it's neither here nor there. Neither am I seeking comfort, nor am I going to commit suicide. Just then, something beyond the me steps in and takes the hand away from the nose. And I breathe in. What was it that did it? Don't call it reflex action, don't call it this, don't call it that. What exactly is it? And the same question comes back to us in meditation. When in the waking state I am aware of all this and in the sleep state I am not aware of anything, what is the state in between? When I am not awake to this world, nor am I unaware of it. What is the threshold? How do I slip from here to there? If I can get that for one split second, that's meditation, samadhi. And in the same way, if I can get hold of that thing, which while the breath is held, says enough. Who is it that shouts from inside? If it is not fear. If it is fear, then of course you have introduced it. It's the me again. It's the action of the me. If you are fearless, and if you say, I am prepared to hold the breath until tomorrow morning, someone springs up from within you and says, stop it. Who is that? That is prana. Once you have seen that, you are unafraid. Completely, totally unafraid. Murcha. And the last of these eight is called Kevali. And that is a beautiful discovery of these yogis. It is the opposite of what was first called Sahita. Sahita means Kumbhaka with inhalation and exhalation. Kumbhaka associated with inhalation and exhalation. That is Sahita. And Kevali, Kevala Kumbhaka, is without it. Kumbhaka alone. That is a complete suspension of breath without inhalation, exhalation. Is such a thing possible? Yes. Some of us have experienced it. I'm not talking about the Swamis and Yogis, all of you. In a state of what is called shock, there has been suspension of breath for a couple of seconds, few seconds, depending upon how deep the shock is. You have seen this. The thing is, the jaw drops open, the breath is suspended, the eyes look glassy and staring. There is no inhalation, there is no exhalation, there is suspension of breath. Yes? We have all experienced it. But unfortunately, as in the case of sleep, either we are in it, and the moment I begin to observe it, I have come out of it. I am not in it. This is our problem. Either we are in darkness or we are in light, but never able to observe what this darkness is from within it. We have never stood at the threshold. Never. Either on this side or on that side. So, our life is governed by this either-or pendulum. And the spiritual life or the life of the Buddha is neither nor. If I am neither here nor there, I am at the threshold. And that is called transcendence. Let's try some of this pranayama. The regular pranayama, try one or two of these. Becoming intensely aware of it, please keep your eyes open all the time. Becoming intensely aware of it, and can you experience the sensation of feeling and the kumbhaka? after a complete inhalation, hold the nostrils at the tip and hold the breath at the tip. See if you can get the sensation. The breath is held only at the tip of the nostrils. Pushing the fingers out. And then, without the use of the hands, take a deep breath and hold the breath at the top of the throat. In the same way, try to block the breath, the pit of the throat, in the chest. And when you see that, exhale a little, get that out, get that tightness out, and hold the breath again here. You want to try it again? The breath somewhere in the middle of the chest. Inhale. And while you hold, keep your mouth open. Float on water very easily. I'll show you if you like.
When you keep your in that last exercise, when you keep your mouth open, where's your tongue? Just in the middle of your mouth?
In the mouth, yes. Not.
not in the bottom. You rest it?
Doesn't matter. That's not important.
Whatever's comfortable.
The idea is to hold the to have the sensation of the breath held in the middle of the chest, and from there up it's all open. Breath, I mean, air can circulate very freely.
Mm-hmm. And the other exercise, where you hold it in the pit of your throat, there's no tension.
In the chest.
In the chest.
That's not easy to achieve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's possible to hold the breath, that is, mentally hold the breath, the energy that is called prana, anywhere you like. Good?
Focusing on that particular
spot, yes. Right. Good? Now, let's, please, the rules of the game. Sit comfortably and go on breathing in and out, changing the pattern without taking the hands away. And if the right arm is fatigued, use the left one alternately. Right. Ready? Go. Inhale through the left. Fill up. Exhale through the right. And as you exhale, pull the abdomen in as far back as it would go. Inhale through the right. Stick the abdomen out. Fill up. Exhale through the left. Pull the abdomen in as far back as it would go. Inhale through the left. Exhale through the right. Pull the abdomen in. Squeeze the little bit of air out and feel that you are holding your breath there. Exhale through the left. Pull the abdomen in. Inhale through the left. Fill up. hold, concentrate on the solar plexus. Exhale to the right. Pull the abdomen in, pull the abdomen in as far back as possible. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Pull the abdomen in as far back as possible and hold the lungs empty. You can drop the abdomen, but hold the lungs empty. And inhale when you want to. And please do it for a few rounds without nothing like it in the entire world.
When you're at the bottom of your breath, there, holding it, bottom of the exhalation. Can you swallow to hold it longer?
Nothing will make you hold it longer.
It's okay to swallow.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is the best place to put the attention when the breath is empty? Or find it slow?
Exactly. Can you pin your attention anywhere? No. There's commotion.
I feel like I should try and put it somewhere.
Good. So try anything you like. Anywhere you like. You know why I'm afraid. No, I'm afraid. There is a reason why I am vague. Any suggestion given to you is going to make you tense at that time. You try. If I tell you, you must fix your attention on between the eyebrows. It'll immediately interfere with your holding the breath, holding the lungs empty. Because you've got something else to do and you're not watching what's happening to you when the lungs are empty.
Try.
That's the most interesting thing, fantastic thing. You'll see all kinds of fireworks in seconds, yes? In a few seconds, you'll see all kinds of fireworks.
I had a stitch in my side here.
When?
Inhalation.
It's tension.
Tension?
Mm.
Just let it go.
Let it go, yeah. It'll let you go, no? I think anyone who practices pranayama, even half seriously for a little while, overcomes that fear. Mm-hmm. That I may choke myself, I may forget to take my hand away. Somebody else kicks you out. So often I am asked, is there any danger in this thing? I tell them, there's danger only in one, if you ask someone else to hold your nostrils, there's danger. Otherwise, no, absolutely no danger. You can do nothing. You cannot harm yourself. Try.
Like swimming underwater, right? Nobody has to tell you when to come up.
Yeah, sure, you spring up.
You're up.
Spring up. This is worse.
One of my yoga teachers told me he wouldn't teach us pranayama because he'd known people who damaged themselves that way. What could he have been referring to?
Damaged?
Damaged. Yes,
what is that age which is damaged?
He didn't say.
How old? How old one does one have to be in order to be damaged?
I've heard many people say that there's a specific length of time that one shouldn't do pranayama for.
Yeah, naturally. You shouldn't hold your breath for half an hour.
Everyone says you should hold it for 1.5 hours.
Swami Radha had incorrect instruction, and she has a lump on her chest because one side of her chest was overdeveloped. She breathed too long on one side.
I know of someone who can do something like that, but I don't think it's possible for normal, ordinary people. One can be, one can do all sorts of funny things, yeah. But it's not normally possible. The body tells you from moment to moment, like, just like you're stitching the abdomen.
That's just a warning.
Yeah, but
to relax.
Right, that's all. That's all.
Could you go over again the in and out? You breathe in on one side and out on the other?
Yeah.
And out on the same side?
Yes, right. Smooth, then I begin to hold after the inhalation. And when that becomes smooth and comfortable, I begin holding after the exhalation. It's a fantastic.
Both then, right? The final stage, you should be holding both the inhalation
and yes, and the exhalation. Yes. And what is known as Bahya Kumbhaka, the Kumbhaka outside, that is holding the lungs empty, that is more effective when it is done before meals. That is not with the food in the stomach.
And Swamiji, then when the lungs are empty, you would visualize all the prana as being outside.
I don't know, sir. I don't want to suggest anything at all. For the simple reason that let that be like a child and watch what happens.
This isn't done to counting like 4, 16, 8. That's another exercise.
No. This itself can be 4, 16, 8. But then again, if you start with all that, you may become tense. If you go on practicing this, at one stage you suddenly discover that you are doing 4, 16, 8.
That's the natural.
Natural rhythm.
If, as a result of holding the breath out and holding the breath in, the inhalation and exhalation becomes jerky, then you must
revert to the first one and get the jerkiness out. The jerkiness shows that you are tense, right? Fidgety.
Often you hold it and it feels fine, or you hold it out and then
feels fine.
And you think, no, that was too long. Or
that.
If I find you can do once. Like, it's easy to hold your breath for 1 minute for
correct.
Once, but you
correct.
Can't hold your breath for 1 minute for 5 minutes.
Continuously, yeah, right. There again, one's own sensitivity must let one know.
So it must, the inhalation and exhalation
must be smooth. Yeah. Om Shanti Shanti.